Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Get here. How did we done got to the middle of the week? Astonishing, isn't it? Well, at least it is. The older you get, the faster they run. Until it's a sprint at the finish, I guess. Hi! I'm Bob. Sunshine Bob. And it's Wednesday. It is indeed Wednesday. Downhill, as it were, to Friday. The middle of the week, hump day, by Jove! And if you are a regular listener to the horn, and by Jove, I know you are, then you know it is ever so much more than that, brethren and sistren. That's right. Somebody pass me a snake. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. And as we pass the collection plate amongst the faithful, the parishioners, I will note to you the fact that there is a little PayPal button in the bottom of the virtual collection plate going around during the offertory hymn. And that is how we keep the lights on and the doors open here at the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren. So, Minister of Music, if you would please step forward and lead us in the offertory. Amen. And amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you, wouldn't you? Ha! Glory! Welcome, welcome, one and all, brethren and sistren, to the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Archpope, Ultimate Rabbi, Superior Imam, Exalted Shaman, Bob Kincaid, and this is our weekly prayer meeting service. Hallelujah. Now quit fiddling around out there in the parking lot out there smoking with the sinners. They'll all be smoking soon enough. And come on in through the vestibule, bypass the 20-year-old butter mints in the bowl there, and just get on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sistren, and fall on your knees right there at the altar, and put your hands upon the subwoofer. Oh, pardon me while I get out my prayer hanky. It's a little bit warm in here already. Fall on your knees and put your hands upon that subwoofer, brethren and sistren, and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing right on through you from the server on high. Amen. And amen. Forever and ever. Amen. It is Wednesday. It is prayer meeting. We had a lovely little fellowship dinner down in the basement of the church. The little old blue-haired ladies that drive away down in the basement had a lovely fried liver and onions dinner for us this evening, followed up with a little bit of fresh cobbler and some homemade vanilla ice cream, and about had to beat the deacons away with a baseball bat. They can put away the ice cream and cobbler, them deacons. Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. But it's time to get it on now. And brethren and sistren, in the way of getting it on, not like that, you preverts. Not that kind of getting it on. No. No, brethren and sistren. We take you now to the battle for the soul. For the soul of the United States. It's the story of Damon Fowler. Damon Fowler, just one vowel Fowler away from being Demon Fowler. He's an atheist. Damon Fowler goes to school in Louisiana, a good God-fearing state in these here new United States. Pass me the strychnine. I'm feeling inspired. Goes to Bastrop High School in Louisiana. And he's an atheist. An atheist! Corrupting the minds of little innocent Christians who don't bother to read that Bible they love so much to thump. Getting ready to graduate high school, Demon Fowler was. Public high school. And Demon Fowler found out, brethren and sistren, that there was going to be a praying to the Savior at his high school graduation. But you see, there was a problem. Demon Fowler, I mean Damon, had his head perverted by all of that reason and common sense. And he actually read him some law. You know, not from the Constitution that good, upstanding, patriotic, right-wing, religion, industry Americans keep in their head in a totally imaginary form, but the actual one that's in writing in Washington, D.C. He'd read in it. And it is only proof that knowledge is the root of all evil, brethren and sistren. All evil arises from knowledge. That's why the Creator wanted Adam and Eve to stay stuck on stupid and not eat from the tree of knowledge. Ignorance, truly, brethren and sistren, is bliss. But young Demon Fowler, Damon, did not want to live in ignorant bliss like his fellow Christians. No, glory. Put the snake back in the cooler. I'll handle it here in a little bit. Damon decided to fill his head with filth and sin by reading the Constitution. And that's where he found out that it's unconstitutional and legally forbidden to go cramming religion down people's throats in the name of government, and that public schools are an arm of government. So young Demon Fowler contacted the superintendent of schools, exercising that First Amendment right of freedom of speech that gets so many people in trouble when they should just be quiet and praise Jeebus. He contacted the school superintendent and told the school superintendent that he was against getting prayed over for his graduation. He told him he'd contact the ACLU if they did it. And then, oh, sad, sorry day, brethren and sisters, showing how the hand of the heathen is spreading across this once great Christian land. The school knuckled under to Satan and canceled their invocation to the Almighty. But after they done that, school board leaked Demon Fowler's name to the community there, whose other little Christian children would be graduating from Bastrop High School in Louisiana. They took care of Demon Fowler right quick. They set to him them fine, upstanding Christians, those soldiers of the faith, glory! Those followers of the Prince of Peace, those sons of eternal salvation, of love and kindness and gentle concern for all that walk upon this planet, set upon Demon Fowler and about to cast him out. They hounded him, brethren and sisters. They pilloried him. They ostracized him within their community. And if we lived in the America the great Christian nation of America that the Dominionists and the Reconstructionists hope someday to build, he would have been cast out of the community and stoned to death. Ha! Hallelujah, praise. One of his own teachers smeared Demon Fowler. His fellow students threatened Demon Fowler for getting their invocation to their imaginary friend all canceled up. They told him they was a-gonna jump him at the graduation practice. Time and again they threatened bodily harm against Demon Fowler. Even yea, verily, unto death. Hallelujah, glory to God. And then, following the commandments of God, following the great, great laws handed down from on high and chiseled in stone, his mama and his daddy heard the call of Christ and cast him from their midst. Demon Fowler's parents servants of the Most High cut off all financial support to this young heathen, as the Bible says they should. They kicked him from out of their house
as the Bible says they should. And they threw his belongings on the front porch. And then, to show that young heathen demon fowler that no atheist will ever, ever, ever succeed in making sure that there is separation between church and state, the Bastrop High School showed what is most important in America: religion. And they had that prayer over the graduation ceremony anyhow, anywho. That is the kind of America, brethren and sistren, I want to live in, where we have no tolerance for those who would lead people to the eternal and damning flames of hell itself. Hallelujah. But instead, stand up for salvation. Stand up, glory, for eternity. Not sure where Demon Fowler is now. He's a vile, filthy mouth, heathen atheist. He described the efforts of his righteous fellow students to get him to see the light. He described it, brethren and sisters, and it gives me no pleasure to say it, as a shit storm. Inspired young Christians told him that he was the devil, because he was. After his mama and his daddy throwed him out, he was told, go cry to your mommy. Oh, wait, you can't. Because since he does not follow the Prince of Peace, of joy everlasting, he is exiled from his community, as it should be, forever and ever. Amen. Here's what those fine, upstanding Christians in Bastrop, Louisiana, said about Demon Fowler. I personally see him as a coward. I hope the Christians put enough pressure on this kid to convert him and save his soul from the fire of hell. The kid was likely a recluse and apathetic about most everything until now. If he don't want prayer at graduation night, he can stay home and not come to graduation. I hope the little atheist is offended. What he's really trying to do is trying to shove his views down people's throats. Satan continues to prowl and is deceiving many in this world. And so true it is, they have the understanding of little children there in Bastrop, Louisiana. Here's a few moments of what we like to call natural sound. Natural sound. From class night at Bastrop High School.
Before we start the program, there are a few housekeeping chores we need to take care of. At this time, I'm going to ask all of you to please turn off or silence your cell phones. And with the program is over, I would ask that everyone remain seated while all of our graduates have recessed at the end of the program. And one last thing, I want to make sure that you please give these young people the respect they have earned. This is their graduation and a happy time for them. And we don't want anything to distract from that.
initially chosen to deliver the invitation, but I was recently informed that I would be leaving the moment of silence. However, before I fulfill my obligation, I would like to say that I am of the Christian faith. Now, I respect those who do not share in the same beliefs as I do. But at this time, I would like to give thanks to the God that has made the class of 2011 a great success.
Sickening. Is that just disgusting? Does that just make the very idea of Christianity turn to putrid vomit in the back of your throat? Because it does mine. That perky, precious, child making she's standing up for Jesus. Now, because Jesus is so weak, he can't stand up on his own. We've got to stand up for Jesus or they'll persecute us. That's what it said. I was going to lead a prayer, and I was going to wear my cheerleader uniform and everything and say, "Yay, Jesus," and do a herky. But they won't let me. They told me it has to be a moment of silence, and that could be a silence for Booter, or Aller, or some ghosty thingy that lives in a tree and haunts me in my dreams and makes me think about dirty stuff. Moments of silence are filled by the devil. So I'm going to tell you I'm a Christian. That's all right. You just take me down, throw me out in the bayou to the alligators. It's all right, cause then I'll die like Jesus, cause he got hit by an alligator in hell.
This country. When fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag. And carrying a cross. As the old movie says, they're here. Indeed, indeed they are. I guess there's a little bit of the misery loves company effect, though, to be had in the knowledge that it's not just us. No, there's help. And it does me no great good to note that Jude sent me this story, and it comes from the Netherlands. The Netherlands, that should know better, who were tormented by the guardians of the faith, the Spanish, until they finally got free of those monsters and their inquisitions and their burnings at the stake and their bastinados and their racks and their screws and their whips. Their scourges and their death cult. No, this is the story of Herr Johann Hebers, who is a very successful owner of a large construction company and has made himself oodles of money over the last few decades. Now, you know that the Bible, when it gets down to rubber meeting the road time, Yeshua said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to clothe the naked. I want you to feed the hungry. I want you to heal the sick, and I want you to visit the people who are in prison." That's how we find out if you really want to have salvation. Nowhere in that list does it appear that does he appear saying, "And while you're at it, build a water slide, a theme park, or torment little atheists in my name." It especially doesn't say, "Build a full-scale replica of Noah's Ark." That is exactly what Herr Johann Hebers, 60 years old, has done. He has built what he claims to be a full-scale, life-size, no-kidding replica of the Ark in Dordrecht. 450 feet long, 3 stories high, 75 feet wide. Now, the Bible says that the ark was built out of chitum, C-H-I-T-T-U-M, or gopher wood. And it's kind of hard to tell what that was. Undaunted and undeterred, however, Herr Hebers built his out of Swedish pine. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Because he translates the wood of choice being resin wood. And Herr Hebers says that means pine. Says he's going to be done with it by the middle of July. Maybe a little bit later. Now, being a fine, upstanding, God-fearing Dutch Christian, Mr. Hebers gave not a tinker's damn about the concerns of his neighbors. Neighbors like Gerrit Kriethoff, who's 65 years old, and for the last 42 years has lived in a little brick row house next to the old shipyard where Mr. Hebers is building his flippin' ark. This exercise in futile stupidity has ruined Herr Kriethoff's home. Because now, when he looks out his window where he used to have a view all the way to the river and could see the big ships out on the river, now he has a delightful view of a solid wooden wall. This stuff drives me bananas. The plum nuts. There is almost unending suffering in the world. No, it's not almost unending.
It is. It is countless. It is endless suffering in the world. The cost of that ark might have alleviated some small smidgen somewhere. He didn't have to take his money to Africa. There's miserable people in the Netherlands. There's hungry people everywhere. He didn't have to send his money to the Middle East or South America or Asia. He could have done good works within the scope of the commandments of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, right there. But what did he do? Herr Hebers built a flippin' ark. And guess what he's gonna do? He's gonna sail it. Yeah, really. Here's hoping that the christening will be a moving underwater ceremony. Bloop, 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 bloop. The photograph that goes with this story from the New York Times, he's got carved animals inside it. Little wooden zebras and a bear scratching himself against one of the upright support poles. There's a giraffe on the bow. And for what? Vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. But this is Christianity. This is the world's greatest religious failure. But don't you know? Because you've got to remember, it's not an American that started the Creationism Museum in Kentucky and is now expanding into the... Oh, no, not again. Yes, the Ark Park. That's an Aussie. And so we're going to have an Aussie and a Dutchman. Anybody want to bet this thing winds up in Kentucky? Yeah, don't light a match, Johann. That resin wood... There's another word for it. It's called kindling. No smoking. I wonder if he's going to be able to get some tsetse flies in there and some hookworms and a few other of those things that obviously, since the Bible is the literal word of God, I wonder if he's going to be able to get those things into the ark just like Noah did so that the suffering humanity could be tormented by their loving creator. As Noah made sure they could. Two mosquitoes. Two Anopheles mosquitoes. Male and female. Gathered he them in. Yeah. Ark Park. Yeah, the Democratic governor of Kentucky is pushing the Ark Park hard. Revolting, though I know that it is. Maybe, perhaps, more on that later. But I just smell a deal coming. Just sail that right up the Kentucky River. I wonder what kind of... There ain't no sails or... Are those holes? No, those are windows. Those are portholes. How are you going to propel this thing? Oh, that's where the demon technology comes in, right? You know, the Evinrud, just out of sight. Aren't these people just disgusting? Little weirdos trying to cheer their imaginary friend out of the sky. At graduation. Filthy rich weirdos letting people starve while he builds a monument to his own vanity and a fantasy of a barely, well, I mean, a fantasy of a pre-literate people. Because you got to remember the story of the ark that we have in the Bible was stolen.
It's plagiarism. It was lifted. It's a wholesale Bogart. It was taken from the Sumerians, who came up with the idea of a great universal flood first. And yet in the 21st century, in 2011, 2,764 ab urbe condita from the founding of the city, and we still believe this stupid shit to be literal. It's okay if it's a myth. It's okay if it explains a larger reality. That's understandable. It's understandable that people who couldn't understand the technology behind a flipping wheelbarrow couldn't understand why it rained either. That's okay. That's a part of human progress. But when you take that self-same myth and you turn it around in the year 2011 and you say, nope, by Jiminy, this is how it happened, then you are deserving of all the mockery and derision that rational, reasonable people can muster up. This just beats me senseless. So I'm going to try to collect my wits. We've got other stories to go into, but it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. You know, come on down and testify if you feel like it. You know the phone number, right? 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N, or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. We can do it any way you want to. You can email Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. You can jump into the chat room and have a whale of a good time there. Whale, no, we're not going to do the Jonah story. That was just a damn big fish. Besides, it says big fish, not whale. Daggum atheists. So we'll take a break and come back. We'll let the choir handle this one. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to the Horn.
High school. We never once left this town. We used to go out on the weekends, and we drank till we drowned. But now she's acting funny, and I don't understand. I think that she's found some other man. She left me for Jesus, and that just ain't fair. She says that he's perfect. Could I compare? She for Jesus, and that just ain't fair. He says that he's perfect.
Amen and amen. For all of you who have just written in and said, "Holy cow, Bob, who's that?" That's Hayes Carl. She left me for Jesus. Run out and find it. Hayes Carl needs some supporting. Of course, if you played it down in Bastrop, Louisiana, they'd probably, I highly recommend Hayes Carl not play that in Bastrop, Louisiana. Some email rolling in. Robert in Australia says, Bob, listening to, not the song, the story about Bastrop, Louisiana. Bob, listening to that was just sick. Sick, 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 sick. I think I may have gotten an extra sick in there. I hope Robert will forgive me. And that's the future of your country? No, Robert, no. That's the past and the present of our country. The future is much, much worse. I hope somewhere there's a good atheist family that is willing to take in that young man because he needs to be nurtured. He's obviously intelligent, and he needs to be brought along, and he needs to be taught that he is not alone, and that he does have the right to do what he did, and that what he did was in fact the real right thing to do, even for the idiot Christian's sake. Because you know what? If you walked into the Bastrop High School auditorium and you whomped down a prayer rug and you started aiming at Mecca and bowing and kneeling and hooting and told them they had to do the same, why, they would have kittens with polka-dotted crocheted tails and claim they was being persecuted. Because they didn't want to pray no prayer that they had to pray if somebody else told them they had to pray it, because that ain't Christian. Right? If you told them all they had to put on little hats and shawls over their head and start praying in some other language, they wouldn't care for that neither. Or if they all had to sit cross-legged on the ground and sit there and just hum, om, om, om. No, I wouldn't care for that much neither. Young Damon Fowler, though these idiots did not even realize it, was standing up for them. You know, about 2,000 years ago, they crucified a guy for acting like that. The Romans did. Standing up for people whether they liked it or not. And here we have the modern version. But Robert, before you get too froggy, a gentle reminder, my friend. Now, I know you're probably not in that particular state of Australia. But Agence France-Presse reports that in Victoria, Australia, there's a new law about to be approved. And all I can say is if you're going to the state of Victoria in Australia, watch your mouth. The
Victoria is due to approve new legislation this week under which police will be able to impose fines of up to $257 U.S. $240 Australian on people using offensive words or phrases. They'll be issued in the form of tickets, just like speeding or double parking. The state's top attorney said, occasionally I mutter things under my breath, as probably everybody else does. But this law is not targeted at that. It's targeted at the sort of obnoxious, offensive behavior in public that makes life unpleasant for everybody else. Yeah, because, you know, the camel's going to keep the nose up. Just the nose under the tent. We're only going to get the really obnoxious, offensive swearing in Victoria, Australia. We promise the camel's hump will not get under the tent. Just the nose. Astonishing. Astonishing. Word fear, word phobia. Ray writing in under the subject line, paint shit black. I've been meaning to thank you so much for your segment Thursday regarding the cruel and inhuman treatment of the Palestinians by the Israelis. I thank God, a God many Israelis are incapable of understanding, that I can find nowhere in even the rotten parts of my soul that would allow me to treat another human being that way. Maybe people like that have no soul, only an ugly, rotting warden. David in Tennessee asking, with regarding to the Bastrop High School graduation night dance. Wonder how those fine Christian upstanding family values types, wonder what they thought was in evidence about 2 a.m. out in the parking lot after said dance. Well, I reckon it was praying, David. It was that kind of praying. You know, it says in the Bible there, Brother David. It says in the Bible that even when you don't have the words, the soul cries out to God. And I reckon there was a whole lot of that going on out in that parking lot about 2 a.m. Bastrop High School. Oh, 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 God, oh, God, oh, God, Jesus, Jesus, oh, God. Praying, that's all it was, praying. And see, them atheists want to take away our right to pray in schools. Yeah. Tough one. Tough one. And by the way, and I guess we're going to just kind of, well, hey, no, 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 before we go anywhere else, two for the win column. Got to celebrate these. They're kind of rare, really. I was looking at my email, and got one from our dear friend Maria Gonneau, you know, environmental Nobel winning Maria Gonneau. She's a winner of the Goldman Prize, often referred to as the environmental Nobel. The folks over to America's Power Army, always got to have my army. America's Power Army, associated with the feces of coal, I mean faces of coal. Oh, they real upset. You remember a while back? I shared with you that story. Jude had put me onto it via Mike Malloy about how Scholastic, the My Weekly Reader folks, how Scholastic was working with the coal industry to make sure that every American fourth grader understood that coal is sweet and precious and delightful and yummy. Remember? And the New York Times wrote and had a piece about it, and apparently it got, you know, sometimes you get something in the New York Times and people get a little bit worked up.
New York Times picked up the story based on some grassroots effort by a couple of little tiny underfunded organizations who were out there raising a ruckus. Goes to show what can happen even with a few people standing together. They raised a ruckus, and the ruckus went national. And all of a sudden, well, daggummit, America was on to Scholastic's dirty little secret. Their little hand-holding leg-rubbing session with big, filthy killer coal. You know, the death industry. And those folks, one Jay Wadsworth at AmericasPowerArmy.org. Well, he sent out a blast email to the members of America's Power Army. Lock and load! A recent New York Times editorial criticizes Scholastic, a publisher of educational books and materials, for providing materials to teachers that emphasize the significance of America's most abundant domestically produced fuel, coal. The publisher is no longer offering the materials because of the controversy. Here's what Steve Miller, the president and CEO of our parent organization, the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, a dirty lie, had to say about that. Well, actually, I add the dirty lie part because clean coal is, in fact, a dirty lie. Steve Miller? Really? He's gone from pompous of love to president and CEO of American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity? I hope not. Please let that be another Steve Miller. Bingo Jed had a light on. No, Steve Miller got a little worked up. He said, all our students should be taught that coal has long played a critical role in providing affordable electricity for American families, businesses, and schools, where savings on energy costs can be poured right back into the classroom and right down them little fourth graders' throats and right into their little lungs so they can turn all purdy and black. And get the mercury accreting inside their system right early so they'll have little ignorant babies when they grow up who'll think that coal is just nifty because they ain't got no brains left to figure out otherwise. Oops, I'm editorializing again.
Are you saying I'm an idiot because my father was a coal miner?
No, I'm not, dear.
No, you were talking about heating with coal. I'm just poking you.
No, but you're about 10 IQ points shy of where you ought to be if you hadn't been breathing all that, accreting all that mercury all that time. Same here.
Is that your excuse for calling me a...
Well, I'm 10 points dumber, too. We're all 10 points dumber.
Well, I don't think that there's anything that's economical anymore.
Sure there is. The sun never sends a bill.
That's true.
The wind never threatens to cut you off.
Hydropower.
As long as grass grows and wind blows, you know, that treaty language. Now, let me get back here to Steve Miller. Where savings on energy costs can be poured right back into the pay, into the classroom. They should also be taught, these little children, that one half of American families earning $50,000 per year or less pay on average about 22% of their after-tax income on energy costs. So having affordable electricity is extremely important to their quality of life. Our students should also be knowledgeable about the fact that the U.S. has more energy in our coal than in the world's known oil reserves. They need to recognize that coal is a strategic asset that makes our nation more secure in an often unstable world. Now, somewhere along the way, can we also teach little fourth grade children that at least 26,000 people, maybe somebody they will know per year, die because we insist on burning the world's filthiest energy source to create electricity? Can we teach the fourth graders that?
Can we teach the fourth graders what it's like to watch a 62-year-old man slowly drown on dry land from the effects of black lung disease? Can we teach our little fourth graders that? Can we teach our little fourth graders big words like conductivity? Can we teach our little fourth graders about fancy words like mercury and selenium and cadmium and barium and arsenic? Can we teach them that, Steve Miller, woo-hoo? This here's the story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue, two young fourth graders who had to study coal to get through. Now, we'll work on that. Yeah, we gotta teach people. All right. We gotta teach people that coal is God. See, there's some other things Steve Miller didn't mention, like the fact that those energy costs based upon coal are going up and up and up and up, and that in fact coal from mountaintop removal operations is now more officially more expensive than coal dug underground. American families earning less than $50,000 per year pay on average about 22% of their after-tax income on energy costs. Let's teach the fourth graders that there's a better way. Where American families earning less than $50,000 a year will pay much less for their energy costs when we leverage the free power of the sun and the wind and the inherent heat that exists because this planet is warm and alive and stores its heat in the ground. Let's teach children that they don't have a chance on this planet if we continue to burn coal. Let's teach children that their only hope is the sun and the wind. In other words, let's teach children the truth. Could we do that, do you think? It might be worthwhile. So thus, as they say in the fancier churches where people stand up, or the preacher stands up way above the crowd and wears funny clothing, here endeth the lesson. So we'll take a little break. Take a little break and come back to the second hour of the program. And maybe even your calls. You know the number. Light them up if you want to. Otherwise, I'll just filibuster. 877-443-2366. 304-658-3333. BobKincaid@gmail.com. June has begun. And let's get it going right. This is, after all, conversation radio. This is, after all, the horn.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. And you, of 20 years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your needs. They see the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total genius. We got your soap right here.
And got your bad body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
6 minutes past the hour as we begin hour number two of the program. And a couple more emails rolling in. Ray, thought you were going all Larry Flint on us there for a second, Bob. Also, Ray notes, no, Steve Miller's playing clubs in Michigan. Take the money and run, you know. That's exactly where William went. Steve Miller says, take the money and run. With regard to the invocation in Bastrop, Louisiana, Jack writes from Shreveport, our correspondent on the ground in Louisiana. Jack writes from Shreveport, the girl who I think was doing the invocation said, for those that believe as I do, please bow your heads. And Jack says, so someone who does not believe as she does, but who does wish to be respectful to the other people in the proceeding and in general to other beliefs, may be seen as a traitor to their own beliefs if they bow their heads in silence.
Yes.
And God help the person who doesn't bow their heads, because those followers of the Prince of Peace, then you'd have to ask the question, how'd they know he didn't bow his head? Well, because they weren't bowing either, but they're allowed to because they're Christians, which means they're hypocrites. They're fundamentalist Christians, and therefore hypocrites. I know lots of good Christians. And I can say one thing with absolute certainty of every good Christian that I know. They would be good if they were a Buddhist. They would be good if they were a Muslim. They would be good if they were an atheist. They would be good if they were followers of the pagan animist the cult, because they are good people. Christianity does not make you good. And it makes a lot of people worse than they were to begin with, because it gives them a home for their hate. Let's see. A couple of other things. Sandra noting the story about Australia in Victoria, the swearing ban. This from the same country that nearly committed genocide against the Aboriginals? Amazing! And I think the real pity of it is that, from an American perspective, mind you, Australians raise swearing to a high art. It's delightful. They've got words that mean nasty things that I don't even understand. But once it's been explained, you know that you are dealing with people who work in swearing, like Rodin worked in stone, in marble or whatever he worked in. It is a medium of art. And I am in correspondence with David from Tennessee to find out more about Hayes Carl, and She Left Me for Jesus. Because you know what? That guy needs a nickel. Anybody that can write a song that awesome needs your money. You know, 99-cent download, whatever. That song needs to get some legs. So, one more note from David in South Carolina, quoting George Carlin, religion is like a lift in your shoes. Find the one that fits for you, but don't make me wear your shoes, and don't go nailing lifts on the feet of the natives. I love that one. Oh, and by the way, I said here endeth the lesson a little bit ago. I missed one. I missed a big one. I forgot about this. And you don't, and you know, I don't bring you these stories with any sense of glee, because they are fraught with sickness and horror. I bring you these stories that you yourself may know them and share them. that we may drag these people out into the cleansing light of day. Because monsters such as you're about to hear of operate in the shadows and in the dark corners where the rats and the filth congregate. We take you now to Italy, where the problems just won't go away for the old Nazi anti-aircraft gunner. Nope. Must be a hell of a note to be an octogenarian, and everywhere you look, you see somebody that likes to do little boys. It gets so bad, in fact, that you bring in an advisor, bring him up nice and close to you, and you sit down and say, listen, or you say, listen, we have got to get this pedophilia thing under control. This is eating out the very beating heart of a 2,000-year-old money-making enterprise that has made us all filthy rich. And it's coming apart at the seams. If I have one more judgment about some bishop in Massachusetts, I think I will have a hissy. Now get out there and fix this. Pays them off, bury it, make it go away. Claims that they're all homosexuals and homosexuals are of the devil. Do whatever you must, but make it go away. Right? And so you do whatever you do within the church, and I don't know, you shake something at him or blow some incense his way and clothe him with robes of office and crowns of glory or whatnot. Because your buddy is a cardinal and probably helped vote you into office. So you figure you can trust him. This comes from the leading Italian daily La Stampa. I'm simply going to read it verbatim, not because I think you need to be read to, but because I would like to get at least to the halfway point of this program before my blood pressure gets to, like, you know, Google over Avogadro's number. The latest get the bucket. Really. Get the handy-dandy vomit bucket. The latest sex abuse case to rock the Catholic Church is unfolding in the archdiocese of an influential Italian cardinal who has been working with Pope Benedict XVI on reforms to respond to prior scandals of pedophile priests. Oh, when the first paragraph says that, you know it ain't going to get any better, don't you? Father Riccardo Seppia, a 51-year-old parish priest, in the village of Sastri Ponente, near Genoa, was arrested Friday, May the 13th, curious, on pedophilia and drug charges. Investigators say that in tapped mobile phone conversations, Seppia asked a Moroccan drug dealer to arrange... Where's my bucket? To arrange sexual encounters with young and vulnerable boys. I do not want the 16-year-old boys, but the younger. 14-year-olds are okay. Look for needy boys who have a family issues, he allegedly said. Genoa Archbishop Angelo Bagnasco, who is the head of the Italian Bishops' Conference, had been working with Benedict to establish a tough new worldwide policy released this week on how bishops should handle accusations of priestly sex abuse.
Banyaska said that when he met the Pope this weekend, he asked for a particular blessing for my archdiocese in light of the alleged crimes, adding that, like every father toward a son, feels great pain in seeing a priest who is not faithful to his vocation. Really, is that what we call it now? Not faithful to his vocation? Drugging 14-year-old boy. See, I told you, this is why I was going to just read it straight, but no, I'm gone. That's what we call it now. Drugging little 14-year-old boys who have issues and are needy and therefore more likely to remain silent about their rape. Vatican spokesman Father Federico Lombardi praised Bagnasco's handling of the Sastri Ponente case, lauding its timeliness and competence. On Saturday, May 14th, the Cardinal visited the Santo Spirito Church, where Sapia was the parish priest. I like the boring details, but it just can't last, can it? No, we're going to go back to the good stuff. The sick stuff. According to investigators, Sapia told a friend, a former seminarian and barman who is currently under investigation, the town's bar, seminarian and barman? What is this, a W.C. Fields movie? Back in the old Mac Senate days, I used to direct. Nights, I used to tend bar. A former seminarian and barman who is currently under investigation, that the town's malls were the best places to entice minors. Let's do that again without the one-liner. According to investigators, Sapia told a friend, a former seminarian and barman who is currently under investigation, that the town's malls were the best places to entice minors. That is, the priest told his buddy about the best place to pick up fragile boys so he could fuck them. In tapped phone conversations, the two cursed and swore against God. The priest is charged with having attempted to kiss and touch an underage altar boy and of having exchanged cocaine for sexual intercourse with boys over 18. Sapia's defense lawyers are expected to argue that those conversations, monitored since October 20th, 2010, they were just words. Sex games that were played by adults. It was just a game, even when he claimed to have kissed on the mouth a 15-year-old altar boy, according to the defense. On Monday, May 16th, during formal questioning by Genoa's investigating magistrate, Annalisa Giacalone, Sapia chose not to respond. The magistrate decided to keep him in custody to avoid a risk of relapse or tampering with evidence. I didn't even know rebuggering was a word. Defense attorney Paolo Bonanni said the defense wants to evaluate all the charges, reserving the right to respond to public prosecutor Stefano Pupo in the coming days. Questioned by the investigators, the altar boy reportedly confirmed the attempted kiss. Another male minor, who according to the investigators was stalked with messages and pressing invitations, will be questioned soon. Psychologists are helping Carabinieri police officers obtain testimony from the alleged victims. The boys are ashamed to talk and to admit what happened, says one of the investigators. The evidence amounts to at least 50 messages and phone calls,
In the tapped phone conversations, the drug dealer contacted the boys and gave their phone numbers to the priest, who paid them with cocaine or 50 euros. Yeah, that's about 65 bucks each time. 75 bucks for sexual intercourse. The father of one of the boys said, "The investigators made us listen to that man saying terrifying things about our children. Things so terrible that I cannot repeat them." Father Sepia also had 3 computers confiscated along the way. He cruised chat rooms looking for victims as well. The final paragraph, mercifully. Sepia is currently being kept in a confinement cell in a Genoa prison. He met the jail's priest and psychologist. His lawyer says he has read the newspapers and he is pained by his parishioner's comments. He is pained by his parishioner's comments. Isn't that a little bit about, because, you see, there's a certain mindset at work here that is not limited to Father Sepia or limited to pedophiles or sexual predators. Isn't the concept of him being pained by his parishioners' comments a little bit like when George Bush said in his memoir, the original draft of which was done in Crayola, that the worst day of his presidency was when Kanye West said George Bush don't like no black people? Not the day that 3,000 Americans were killed on 9/11, no. Not the visions of corpses rotting on the streets in a Katrina-ravaged New Orleans, nor bodies floating face down in the fetid, filthy waters, no, not that, but the day that a black man criticized him. God, God, God. What more is there to say about the papal priestly buggery problem? Has that walking that walking apologist, that pustle-gutted freak, William O'Donohue, had anything to say about this? Because he's all the time saying, well, you know, there's no more priests committing pedophilia than there are doctors or teachers. Utterly missing the point that there is a big difference between being a doctor and being a priest. Being clothed with the authority of a worldwide, fabulously wealthy organization that claims to have a direct line to the very creator of the universe. I've never met a doctor. Well, I've met some doctors who thought they were God, but never claimed they had direct connections to him. I've never met a teacher who claimed to have a direct line to the creator of the universe. I've never met any member of society, save a member of the clergy, who claims to have the ability to guide one to a spiritual life that will lead one to an afterlife of paradise. And of course, remember, and you just kind of have to, I mean, I don't care if you're Catholic or Episcopal or Lutheran or Presbyterian or a snake handler, you know, I criticize it, but I don't, you know, it's your business. Because I'm an American, and I kind of treat religion that way because I don't want to get gunned down in the street by some other religion. So let's just let all the religions be what they want to be as long as they live within the law. But there's a greater problem that attends all of this. And that is Christian doctrine and dogma at its most basic level. Because, you see, it doesn't matter how many children Father Sapia raped. It doesn't matter how many he drugged. He could have done it in their millions. It wouldn't matter if he had slit their throats even as he orgasmed. Because he is a part of a church that says as long as he repents before he dies, he is forgiven and goes to paradise to sit at the right hand of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what happens when an early cult is transformed into a monument to murder. And that's what happened to Christianity in its earliest days. Rather than focusing on the life of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, they focused on his murder. And from that flows every vile thing that the church has ever done. Father Sapia, as long as he confesses, and as long as he claims repentance, gets to go to heaven when he dies. Whereas if they do not repent, or if they are not Christian, the little boys he raped get to be tormented forever in a lake of fire reserved for the devil and his angels. Ain't that some doctrine? Wow. And it's not just Father Sapien, it's not just because he's a priest. It's everybody. Murderers, arsonists, poisoners, everybody has forgiveness available to them. Jesus teaches forgiveness, but he teaches it on a personal level. You have to really fold, spindle, and mutilate the words of Christ to get Father Sapia into heaven, but they did it. They did a Jim Dandy job over 2,000 years with exactly that. Remember, at the very worst, Adolf Hitler, according to the church, is in purgatory. But he's heaven eligible because he was baptized into the church and he was never excommunicated. Not to this day. You know, maybe the one honorable thing, seeing as how he worked for Hitler, you know, he was a member of his army, maybe the one single most honorable thing Benedict could do would be to excommunicate Adolf Hitler ex post facto. Can you imagine that? A religious doctrine that says heaven is there for you no matter how many little boys you drugged and raped. Do you want to go to that heaven? You want to go to the same heaven that Father Sapia is in? Don't drop the heavenly soap! Might want your Pope soap on a rope in heaven. I guess you can put the bucket away now. But God isn't that disturbing.
And see, here's the worst part of that story. Nothing will change. Because there are apologists like Bill Donahue out there, and lots more like him, who will say, well, you know, this happens. You know, the priests are going to bugger a boy every now and then. You know, what are you going to do? It's a flawed institution. No, it's not. It's the Holy Mother Church. It can do no wrong. Just think about it. Somewhere in the world, right now, a priest is bending a little boy over and shattering his life into a million tiny pieces. That's how many of them there are. That is how prevalent it is. That is how pervasive it is. And if it's not a priest, it's a pastor, or a youth minister, or an elder. Or yes, a rabbi, or an imam. Because authoritarian structures are the perfect place, the perfect, creepy, dark, shadowy, rat, filth-infested little corner for monsters to hide. The monsters, little boy, aren't under your bed. They're in your church. Right? And they teach little girls to stand up in school and castigate others. Even if they haven't done any physical sexual harm, they're still teaching hate. So that you wind up with Bastrop, Louisiana. We'll take a break and come back to your calls. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
in the DJ Zone tonight. Hey, a little bit of an update, information for those of you who want to go and be the proud owner of She Left Me for Jesus. Just run over to Amazon. You can search it out. You can get it as an MP3, probably at iTunes as well. Hayes Carl, HayesCarll. She Left Me for Jesus. And it comes from a 2008 album of 14 songs called Trouble in Mind. Trouble in Mind. Thanks, David, for in Tennessee, for all that information. And by the way, Ray, who has a very famous old Italian last name, says one of my favorite quotes is, God needs to be protected from those that claim to believe in him. Also noting, does Ray, he says, and I felt bad because two of my ancestors were the Keith Richards of the papacy. Yeah, see, it can always get worse. It just can. And let's go to the phones. Hey, hi, welcome Bob. To the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I kind of got just a few things on my mind, if you don't mind me.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Well, for instance, what you were talking about just then, it doesn't matter what the church or whatever they think. That doesn't mean those people are going to end up in a good place. I don't, people like that don't repent, for one thing. And I like what that saying was about, God needs to be protected from those who lie about him.
Who claim to believe.
This country.
Absolutely. It's like that other bumper sticker, Jesus protect me from your followers.
Yeah, right. Did I ever tell you about years ago when I was going to this big church and we had a group that was actually, this is when it was still the USSR.
Mm-hmm.
And we had these brothers that came. They were from over there in Russia, and they called, you know, they were all the Russians, the Russian brothers or something like that. And they were telling about how you know, at that time it was dangerous for, except for the state church to meet, and they would have to be really careful. They'd go up in the mountains and all like that. And they're telling about seeing their grandfather killed. But he said over here, he said the difference over here in this country was that you kill your own. And he said, you would turn people in. Said, he was just talking about the difference between the way the church over here treated its own people that didn't fall into goose-step, you know, and the way over there they had to trust one another. And over here, you can't trust anybody to throw them a mile or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it's so true. I think this country, especially now, you had all these people in government claiming to be believers, and I don't know what the heck they believe.
Well, I don't either. And if you recall, there was a story a couple of weeks ago. John Boehner was going to deliver a commencement address at some Catholic university, and it's scholars banded together and castigated him, and said,
yeah,
what you're doing, you know, that your political acts are also acts that have ramifications of faith,
right?
And that you don't abuse poor people if you claim to follow Jesus,
right?
Well, guess what John Boehner did? Nothing.
No.
He went right ahead because he doesn't care.
Oh, no, they don't care. We're finding that out for sure, for certain. We've wondered about it for a long time, or I did. But I wouldn't trust any of them.
And consider, by comparison, Juanita, now, the Roman Catholic Church would never excommunicate John Boehner for all of his evil, vile, hateful acts against the poor, with whom Jesus Christ was more concerned than any other group of people, as referenced by the Gospels, at least. They won't do anything. But they did get they didn't waste any time excommunicating a nun who saved the life of a woman for whom giving birth would have been a death sentence.
Right, right.
I mean, they got that done lickety-split.
Yeah.
Now, how can a church that does that claim and does one but not the other, how can that or any church that so does claim any moral authority on the planet whatsoever? To me, it can't. I mean, I don't know. We've got a lot of people in the audience who were raised Roman Catholic, and some that wish that the church would come to its senses.
And some have turned away.
And some have turned away. And the question is, how? You know, how do you fix it? Because at this point, is there any way to avoid Juanita saying that it is inexorably broken?
Well, they're absolutely wrong in hiding all of that. That was to so that, you know, they claim that the reason they hid all of that that skullduggery, you know, by raping children and so forth, the reason they did that was so that it wouldn't look bad for the church.
Right.
Well, that is absolutely wrong.
That's sinful.
If you believe in the Bible at all, God doesn't hide anything from about his people.
That's what it says, doesn't it?
Look at the story of David, and he still was a man after God's own heart.
Absalom, Absalom.
And I never did get a good reason for that, but I, in a way I did. I asked a preacher that one time, you know. But anyway, I wanted to talk about something. This is kind of an old news, and you may have discussed it before, but I've had it on my mind because, see, I've missed some of your shows. But, you know Governor Bobby?
Bobby Jindal?
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, he's an exorcist.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, he gave out his long birth certificate not too long after the president did. Did you know that?
No.
He had it published. Well, it turns out that he's what do they call those babies that are born here and their parents?
Oh, he's an anchor baby?
He's an anchor baby. Well, an Indian. Yeah, well, that's Asian. Yeah, he's an anchor baby. Both of his parents were over here work permits when he was born. And they're talking about making him maybe even being a vice presidential nominee. And if he became president, he couldn't be. You know, they're trying to make that illegal for them to be citizens even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They want to either rescind or rewrite the 14th Amendment. Absolutely.
Yeah. They said, what in the world did he do that for? I don't know. But I just had heard that, and I didn't know if you talked about it.
Well, before. You know, for a while there,
he's an anchor baby.
Yeah. For a while there, Juanita, he was sort of looked at as a potential the great brown hope of the Republican Party.
Uh-huh.
But then after, you remember when he gave the response to the State of the Union?
Yeah.
And it was like a really sleazy, naked under an overcoat version of Mr. Rogers?
Typical Republican response.
Yeah. Well, his star sort of went, meep.
Yeah. Well, now they're talking about it going up again. I don't know.
Oh, that would be fine by me. I mean, at this point in time, watching the Republican presidential contenders is like watching clown cars in a circus.
Yeah.
Every time you think the car's empty, there's another one.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Did you see all the visuals of motorcycle mama grizzly?
As few as possible.
But you saw them, didn't you?
Yeah. You couldn't afford them if you had the TV on at all.
I mean, that with her black leather and, oh, Jeebus.
Yeah. I love the smell of that. What is it?
I love the smell of the emissions.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Don't you know, yeah. And then another thing I wanted was about we got a bunch of new laws down here now.
Oh, do you?
Are you okay? I'm having noise on my phone.
No, you're fine.
Okay. Well, we got some new laws. We got some new bad drugs. One of them is that bath salts. You heard about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's illegal down here now. And then we had, like, imitation marijuana.
Yeah.
That's illegal now.
Yeah, that was sold as incense.
Well, I don't know exactly. We had, like, some of our little stores around here was selling them. And, of course, our sheriff had them arrested for it because it doesn't matter whether it was against the law or not. He said it wasn't right. But, and then there's another one that, I mean, there's a whole list of new laws, but one of them that was, I thought was kind of interesting is like, say, you know, y'all are trying to get rid of pollution by the coal companies and so forth. Well, now, the law as it was if you get, they have to prove that, company had to prove that they didn't pollute. But now, the person complaining or whoever complains has to prove that they do pollute. I think that's a big difference, don't you?
I do indeed. I do indeed.
But it showed all the different laws that some of them passed. And
you know, what's the ultimate end result going to be of that, Juanita?
Well, how are you going to prove it?
Oh, see?
Right.
See, toaster for Juanita.
Right. Right. And then there's another thing that I'm tired of them talking about is our children and our grandchildren. Our children and our... Well, there's a lot of people that are going to be starving, and their children are either going to starve too or they're not going to have any. So whose children and grandchildren should we be concerned about?
Well, that almost sounds like a right-to-life issue, doesn't it, Juanita?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, but it's not because they're not in the womb.
And I also had something from Texas Betsy a few minutes ago. Your governor, and I know he's not your governor, but Governor Rick.
Number 28.
Governor, what's the official federal term for it? Governor Unindicted Co-Conspirator.
Yeah.
He's got this plan where he wants to drug test everybody who works,
who
gets a state
passed.
Paycheck. Yeah, that passed. But there is a little bit of good news, if you can consider it good news. It's being challenged in federal court.
Oh, well, I hope so, because they said that the...
Well, you don't want
to
bet...
pay for it.
You don't want to bet on some Bush appointee overturning that, do you? Because, I mean, that'd just be a bet thrown away.
No, I'm not going to bet against that. Especially down here. But the thing is that they say that everybody's going to have to pay for it. Well, a lot of these people... including me, you know, you confronted with a bill that said it could go up to, I think, $80 or $100. Well, and some of these people around here that are...
And they don't even have to have probable cause. I mean, I've never set eyes on you, Juanita, but I am willing to make a wager on this, that if I were to see you walking down the street somewhere in Polk County, Florida, and I looked at you and I said... The first thing that came into my mind would not be, by golly, there walks a drug user.
But there's some people down here you would see, and some of them are getting disability, and I perish. Somebody could get killed over if they want to try to collect some money from them.
Yeah, but my point is that with all of this this drug testing frenzy. And
yes.
Don't think for a minute that Rick Scott probably doesn't have some pal who's going to get rich off selling the drug tests. Because You know, that's how Republicans operate.
Yeah.
It's all cronyism and backroom deals and all, you know, dirty business manipulation, that sort of thing. The point, though, is that everybody has to get drug tested whether there's ever whether there is any indication whatsoever that there is a drug problem, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Now, when you see something like that, you know that there's some sort of a con going on, don't you, Juanita? I mean, it just it makes all the little bells and whistles and sirens go off.
Yeah. Well, all of these laws, these different Republican governors and all are doing all over the country to take away rights of we the people, and every one of them are cutting taxes for the big shots, whoever they are. I can't keep up with them.
Yeah, the word is crony. Just, you know, they're pals.
Yeah. And just like I heard...
No, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you hear the story about the fiscally conservative governor of New Jersey today, you know, Chris Christie?
About the helicopter?
Yeah, about the helicopter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one slayed
me. He only rides in the ones that are good somewhere else, Bob.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, if they were just happened to be passing over his son's baseball field, why not just push him out the door and let him bounce?
Right. Right. Yeah, he probably would. That's not nice, but because he's not a nice person at all.
I mean, I said that you didn't.
And he's mean too. He's really. You're not mean like he is. You're mean in a nice way. He's mean. You
know, that may be Juanita. That may be the new Bob Kincaid slogan. Bob Kincaid, mean in a nice way.
But you know, you would regret it. You say, "Well, I didn't really want that to happen to him if he's planted all over the place." You know.
Well, exactly.
But he wouldn't care if it happened to you.
No, not in the least.
All that liver, you deserve it. But no, what I was going to say was your favorite and mine. I just saw a while ago on TV or a little bit ago, the blonde from Kentucky.
Oh yeah.
She was talking about we have to cut these taxes. We have to cut the budget. We have to cut the budget. And she said, I've been saying this ever since I've been in Congress. I've been saying this. And,
wait, you mean Tennessee? You mean Tennessee, don't you? Not Kentucky.
Is it Tennessee? Yeah, maybe she.
Marsha Blackburn?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Michelle Bachmann wannabe?
Yeah, the blonde. Yeah. But they asked.
Well, I mean, the blonde, wink, wink.
They asked her about the, what about the tax, raises on the rich people? Oh, no, we're not talking about that. Everything else, though.
Right.
Oh, boy, I just saw something on the internet. It said Jeb Bush background and his record in politics and business. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to email that to you.
Absolutely. And by the way, something just in from David in Tennessee pointing out about Rick Scott and the drug testing.
Uh-huh.
David says, does he have a pal involved in drug testing? Well, no. He owns the largest drug testing company specializing in drug testing in the state of Florida. No, really, he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard one time that he wasn't going to do that. But we know we can believe what he says.
Oh, sure.
And his wife is running it.
I find myself so often saying with these people, good work if you can get it, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah. But one thing I wanted to say about a president.
Yes.
Now, this kind of bothered me, and I know some people won't like me saying this, but you know that you watched him and the guy from Saturday Night Live at that press club.
Oh, yeah, you mean...
And it was great.
Yeah, Seth Meyers.
It was all great. But there was one thing that he said that I thought was real petty, and it bothered me, is when he said about what he said about Matt Damon.
I think that was a good-natured jab.
I don't think so. I don't know whether it was or not, because I'm basing that on being called, left-wing complainer?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder, if you say it, if you feel like it's a good-natured joke, and it just struck me the wrong way when you said that, because Matt Damon is a liberal, and he is disappointed. And
well,
under
those circumstances, yeah, it may have been a little bit of hippie punching.
And, I'm just so tired of, you don't know where you're going to stand next. It's bad enough what the Republicans are doing, but what the Democrats are doing, you don't know what's going to happen next. And I just don't know. I don't know, Bob.
I
hope that Greg is right, what he says. You know, I hear him calling every now and then. I have a great deal of respect for what he has to say. And I kind of thought like that, in a way, but I'm wondering. I just really wonder. And all of this, you wonder how you're being set up. I'm very suspicious-minded, Bobby. Bob. I don't,
it's one thing to be suspicious with no good reason for it.
Yeah.
It's another to have spent a lifetime learning it.
Yeah.
In essence, given the life that you've led, haven't you basically spent a lifetime in suspicion school, Juanita? I mean, really. And that's not a criticism, because I've spent my life I've gone to the school of hard, suspicious knocks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, still am.
Right.
In many ways. You think, well, you've smartened up, and then you turn around, and, well, not as smartened up as I thought I was.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't trust the Republicans. At all. I do trust some of our Democrats.
I would worry about you, Juanita, if you said there are some Republicans I trust.
I don't trust a one of them. Not a one. Not a single one.
Well, when have they ever given you any reason to do so?
No. But you feel like, we went through 8 years of Bushy and that other guy. Went through 8 years, and it was rough. It was horrible, because it could have blown up on us then, any time. And then down here we had Jeb for 4 years before that, so we had
Have Jeb for eight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was in, he helped his brother to get in,
With the governorship of Jeb Bush, doesn't it sort of parallel the W presidency? Isn't there something that we can identify as being a common factor to all Bush administrations, namely, Juanita, that while they're in office, they manipulate the system such that it looks like everything is fine and hunky-dory, and then only after they're out of office and out of reach, then you find out that everything they did to prop themselves up was actually a long-term disaster. Because all that tax dodging nonsense was run through under Jebby Bush. Just the same as everything that is wrong with America now was given birth to under W.
Well, he did some things. People say, "Oh, he's a great speaker." Well. Maybe. I mean, he's a better speaker than his brother, but in a way, I like his brother better than him.
Yeah, but that's like liking one demon. That's like liking one demon better than another. They're still both demons.
That's right. Well, their mother is, her daddy is. At least that's what Mike Malloy said at one time. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes, I do.
She looks just like him. Well, her mama was over there. They didn't under him.
Now.
And, you know, well, I didn't say it.
I know.
On Mike Malloy.
Juanita, it's good hearing from you, dear.
Oh, you too, and are you feeling better?
I hope I'm getting better, but I still feel like I've got poorly mixed concrete in my head.
Oh.
Before all this traveling and running around starts, I have got to, I don't know, go to the doctor and get on something, antibiotics or whatever, because, ugh.
Yeah, well, I had a regular doctor appointment, and I've got cellulitis in my ankles, so.
Ouch.
But I got serious ankle and feet problems.
Oh.
You're talking about me walking. You probably see me hobbling.
Oh, I hate to hear that for you.
Oh, well, you know, it was something that was creeping up on me, and they finally found out what it was a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. It's a neuropathy.
Oh.
And
nerve damage,
I had
right.
The craziest symptoms with it. It was hilarious in a way. I couldn't get up one stair sometimes. You know, just all I could do. And then I would fall, and I could not get up except to get on my knees. And I said I was had a lead butt. And then when I found out what it was, had a diagnosis, then everything came into shape. It can cause heart problems, which I started having a few years ago. And, you know, a lot of the things that have happened to me could all have come with that. And I kept complaining about my feet and ankles. And, you know, I wasn't paying attention until I told my doctor I had a lead foot. But, I had the different doctors. You don't go the same to... doctor down here. It may be different other places. When they say you can keep your doctor, down here you're lucky if you have a doctor a couple of years. But,
that's really frustrating.
Yeah. But, anyway, and my son said to thank you for asking about him. And he said he hoped you got better too. He's doing a little better. He's still got to have his heart tested. And
well, you know, that's the thing. We're all family here.
Yeah.
And I mean, people, I get emails from people asking me, you know, is so and so okay? We haven't heard from, you know,
yeah.
And have you heard from? And it really is. It's got an amazing feeling of family about it, such like nothing I've ever been involved with, Juanita.
Yeah, it is. It's better than church. It's what church should be, you know?
Indeed.
But can I ask you one more thing? I just now thought about it, about Fancy was talking about the hummingbirds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if she knew anything about birds or somebody knows about birds, but I'm a semi-bird watcher. You know, I love birds. And one time I was looking out on a fence. We had a wood fence. And this bird, and I know he was a woodpecker of some kind because he was pecking away at my fence. He was so beautiful. He had a red crest and a checkered, black and white checkered body.
Oh, was that a pileated woodpecker? Pretty big fella?
He was pretty big. But, you know, I called the Audubon Society and they couldn't figure it out.
No, that sounds like a pileated woodpecker. If I'm saying it right,
because
we've got one that took up residence in an old dead maple tree at the corner of the corner of the lot here, and when he or she was at work, and I think it's a he, I mean
with a crest.
Oh yeah, and just sounded like somebody was hammering that tree.
Yeah, they do.
Carving out a little hole to live in.
Yeah,
bring the youngins home too.
But I just thinking about that, and I heard her talk about the hummingbird. And by the way, I want to say, I don't never think I've ever said this, but for one, I love that name. And the other, I love her voice.
Well, she'll be glad to hear it.
And she, you know, she's led an interesting life. I feel like my life has been rather mundane. But in my mind, I've led a very interesting life.
And maybe in many ways that's where the real life is, Juanita.
I guess. But, yeah. Okay, well, I won't keep you longer, and you take care.
Well, before you go, I have to tell you, you just got an email in from Michael over in Ohio. And he said, Matt Damon isn't just a liberal. He's a Howard Zinn liberal, literally.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Grew up next door to the man.
Oh, okay.
Narrated lots of Zinn stuff, including the film based on Zinn's memoir, You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train, and the abridged audiobook version of People's History of the United States. So Michael says, way to go, Juanita, for catching the apparently subtle hippie punching.
Yeah.
I didn't see the thing, though. What did President Obama say? And basically what it was, wasn't it, Juanita, it was he said something about, I've heard that Matt Damon says he is disappointed in me.
Yeah.
Well, it goes both ways, because, Matt, I saw your last film.
Wasn't that it? Don't you think that's petty?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that
it didn't make it.
You're right. It didn't make the set any funnier.
No, and it was right to the beginning of it. The rest of it was great. But yeah, I did. I thought it was petty.
Well, you got to remember, with all of these, every so often, Barack Obama has to remind the old guard, stodgy, boring, dull, middle-of-the-road, mug-womp, egg-sucking contingent of the Democratic Party, that he's really with them, that he's not a real liberal or anything, and he can be counted on not to, you know, gotta find, it's like right after he took over the White House and went and had a full seven-course sit-down dinner with all those right-wing pundit freaks like Bill Kristol and George Will and that whole gang,
yeah,
you know, with the silver settings and the plates and the shrimp forks and everything. And then the next day he goes back to the White House and invites some liberal bloggers over for beans and Kool-Aid in styrofoam cups.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Oh, well.
I know. All right. Oh, and by the way, Fancy just wrote in and said, hugs and respect to Juanita. Pass on thanks and hugs for me.
Right back at you.
A lot of love out there, Juanita.
Yeah, there is.
All right, you take care.
The most interesting people in the world come through Bob's program.
I think so, too. Isn't that neat?
I do.
And I'm not even counting myself in that list.
But I am.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you, Juanita. You have a good evening.
Okay, night-night.
Bye now. Juanita, our sage of Central Florida. Always good to hear from her. You know, she's had some computer problems and, as you heard, health problems and stuff, but she's always there thinking of you just like you're out there thinking of her. And that it really is. I'm not kidding. That is a truly, truly inspiring part of this entire process. It really genuinely is. So we will take a little break. It's about 6 after 8. Take a little break. I'll get a swig of lemonade and come back and your calls or, well, there's a couple other things to get to as well. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Let's see if I got the right song file. There it is. We'll be back.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Coming up on 15 past the hour, about, I'd say 40 minutes of rock-solid conversation remaining in the program this evening. And just to follow up a little bit on what Juanita was talking about and give you a little more flesh out, a little more detail, this just in, a link sent along by Cowgirl Patty up on the High Plains. She notes, by the way, that yes, Rick Scott owns the drug testing centers. Patty writes, he gave them to his wifey. Isn't that just sweet? Seeing love blossom and bloom like that. Via WCTV down in Florida. Florida will begin testing welfare recipients. Dateline today. Florida will begin testing welfare recipients for illicit drug use following action Tuesday by Governor Rick Scott that will link the state's temporary cash assistance program to tests critics say have already been ruled unconstitutional. Constitution? We don't know stinking Constitution. Following up on a campaign promise, Scott, otherwise known as the unindicted co-conspirator, signed the measure during a Panama City visit that makes Florida the only state in the nation to test all applicants for temporary assistance to needy families before they can collect benefits, according to a Washington-based public policy group that says other states have narrower testing requirements. The new law, HB 353, requires recipients to pay for the tests and periodically be retested at their expense to continue receiving benefits. Recipients will be reimbursed if the tests, which cost anywhere from $10 to $70, depending on who's estimating, come back negative. Backers say the law will help ensure that taxpayer money goes for helping the family get back on its feet and not used to fuel a drug habit. The hell happened to the free market? Just ask it. While there are certainly legitimate needs for public assistance, it is unfair for Florida taxpayers to subsidize drug addiction. This new law will encourage personal accountability and will help to prevent the misuse of tax dollars, said Scott. Lord, he's a skeevy-looking bastard, isn't he? I mean, he just is. I mean, granted, I'm not going to win any beauty contests. I mean, that's one of those guys that you look at and mothers just take their children. Let's cross the street, honey. How's this drug testing going to work? How are you going to drug test a toddler? Oh, it'll only be the adults, I'm sure, right? Not if the share value goes down on that drug testing lab, it won't. During debate, opponents pointed to a pilot testing program in Florida that was shut down in 2001 after it showed no significant difference in drug use between welfare recipients and the population at large. But see, that logic stuff, that doesn't matter. Well, the study didn't come back and say that them poor folks, them welfare queens, wasn't using drugs, did they? Welfare queens is using drugs, ain't they? Well, they ain't going to buy drugs with none of our taxpayer money. Because just as the Bible, Yeshua in the Bible notes that the poor you have always with you, well, the right-wingers extrapolate from that the poor ye have always with ye, and come on, everybody, let's go crap on them. You know what? That just got a little suggestion, just a little observation for Rick Scott. Maybe, just maybe, you want poor folks stoned, Rick. Because if they sober up, they might get a little bit irked. It's bad enough being poor, and there's no damn nobility in it. But they might get just a little bit irked at the notion of you wanting to not only put your boot on their necks, but grind a little bit. Bread and circuses, Rick. Bread and circuses. Those bread and circuses weren't for the rich folks. Bread and circuses are to keep the poor in line. In two-parent households, both adults would be tested. Benefits to children could be awarded to a third-party recipient who must also pass a drug screen. The law will not affect the federal food stamp program. I'll make an editorial ad here. Yet! But see, it does, again, the logic, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they found out that not a single recipient of temporary assistance to needy families ever used drugs. If it was zero, absolute zero, it still wouldn't matter, and they'd need to do this to protect the taxpayers' investment. Because what matters is funneling state money into Rick Scott's wife's pocket purse. Which then funnels into Rick Scott's pocket. Share and share alike. You got it? And if you come back clean and you get reimbursed, well, then that's the state of Florida out money to do something it didn't need to do in the first place. How's that fiscally conservative? And what happens when you have to take the drug test and the $70 that you have to spend, or $140 if there's two of you? What happens when the $140 you spent on the drug test winds up being the $140 you needed to keep the lights on? Just asking. Or the water running. Because after all, these are needy families, not needy individuals. It's TANF, not TANNY. What happens to a newborn, for instance, in unair-conditioned Florida heat? What happens to the elderly when the power goes out? See, these are realities that warm, mushy, touchy-feely, squishy liberals like me and you think about. This is a welfare issue. But what it also is the question of who's getting the welfare. This is Rick Scott wanting his. If we're going to have welfare, we got to have it for everybody, including me. Including me. Again, citing that prophet, W.C. Fields, William Charles Duncan Fields. I always give to the poor. Poor me. See how it works? Sure. Now, moving over to a different topic. Right, quickly, like. Because I can't let this go by. The other day, when he stood up and sort of objected a little bit to the Patriot Act, I think it was Sandra who asked, do we have to like Rand Paul now? And I think I said something like, oh, wait, just give it time. And I didn't even have my frayed robe with the tattered moons and stars half hanging off of it and my magic eight ball at the time with that frequently comes up answer hazy ask again later. But, sorry, turns out I was right. I don't like this any more than you do. But I was. What do I mean? Well, oh, this is just a classic moment from Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. It really is. It's a fascinating little story. This past Friday, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, went on and got a Hannity job on Fox Radio. Because you got to remember, these authoritarians, some of them get pretty head up about protecting us from the terrorists so Toby Keith don't have to go over and put no boots in no butts. And he goes on the Hannity Job Show. Well, it's only 38 seconds. Give it a listen.
Now you set yourself up to be called a bigot because now you want to profile people at the airport.
Well, no,
you can't win, Rand. I mean, they've got an answer for everything.
But here's the thing, Sean, is I'm not for profiling people on the color of their skin or on their religion, but I would take into account where they've been traveling. And perhaps you might have to indirectly take into account whether or not they've been going to radical political speeches by religious leaders. But it wouldn't be that they are Islamic. But if someone is attending speeches from someone who is promoting the violent overthrow of our government, that's really an offense that we should be going after. They should be deported or put in prison.
You got that, citizen? In Rand Paul libertarian ophthalmologist world, attending a speech is something for which you should be deported or put in prison. Attending a speech. You know, lots of people attend speeches. Journalists attend speeches so that they can be recorded and reported for the present and for posterity. Right? And sometimes they do advocate the violent overthrow of our government. But according to the First Amendment, we have certain freedoms of association that say, well, you know what, that's just one of the things you got to tolerate if you're going to live in a free society, right? After all, we tolerate people who burn other people's holy books. And we say, well, that's what you got to have if you want a First Amendment now. We tolerate people who talk on the air about murdering other human beings, like Glenn Beck talked about wanting to murder Michael Moore. Like Glenn Beck talked about wanting to put a bullseye on Nancy Pelosi's head. Yeah, you got to tolerate that if you're going to live in a free society. Yeah, that little piece of audio just sort of blew my mind a little bit, especially when he got around to the part about if someone is attending speeches from someone who is promoting the violent overthrow of our government, that's really an offense that we should be going after. And it just so happened that we talked about this recently, and I had this guy in mind.
We don't need to rewrite the Constitution of the United States, rewrite it. We need to reread the Constitution and enforce the Constitution. We don't need to rewrite. Let's reread. And I know that there are some people that are not going to do that, so for the benefit of those that are not going to read it because they don't want us to go by the Constitution, there's a little section in there that talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know those ideals that we live by, we believe in, your parents believe in, they instill in you. When you get to the part about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, don't stop right there. Keep reading. Because that's when it says, when any form of government becomes destructive of those ideals, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. We've got some altering and some abolishing to do.
We've got some altering and some abolishing to do. Of course, that is right-wing teabagging darling Herman Cain. Herman. Harriman. Yeah. Talking about altering and abolishing, in other words, overthrowing the government of the United States of America. We've got some altering and abolishing to do. Now, what was that again, Rand Paul? Libertarian ophthalmologist?
To be called a bigot because now you want to profile people at the airport.
Well, no,
you can't win, Rand. I mean, they've got an answer for everything.
But here's the thing, Sean, is I'm not for profiling people on the color of their skin or on their religion, but I would take into account where they've been traveling, and perhaps you might have to indirectly take into account whether or not they've been going to radical political speeches by religious leaders, but it wouldn't be that they are Islamic. But if someone is attending speeches from someone who is promoting the violent overthrow of our government, that's really an offense that we should be going after. They should be deported or put in prison.
I'm all for it. Put Herman Cain in prison now. Because there's the evidence. He advocated the overthrow of the government of the United States of America. And no, he's not a religious leader per se, but he certainly flogs the daylights out of Jesus Christ everywhere he goes and talks about how Jesus is his best friend. Are these people even paying attention? Do they know what there's... Because in the United States of America... In the United States of America, there is one group that is talking about the violent overthrow of government. Hint, it's not the new Black Panther Party on Fox. No! It's the teabaggers. Remember, that publicity hound who's running up the east coast of the United States right now in a great big damn bus. She's married to a guy who was a member of the Alaska Independence Party, which seeks to secede from the United States of America and preaches the overthrow of Alaska's government. Into the box! Oh, sure. I mean, I see the emails. I get them from you guys, some of you. And you want to talk about, and you want to talk about revolution. And there's going to be a revolution. Now, I happen to disagree. There ain't going to be no revolution. It's not only not going to be televised, it's not going to be. Because the people of the United States do not have enough Goya in them, get off your ass, to go have one. And even if they have one, I'm not sure that it's going to be the one that the people who write talking about revolution want. That's why every now and then when a good liberal or progressive will say, you know what we need? We need a constitutional convention. All the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck and no. All that Citizens United money? There would not be a single delegate to a constitutional convention who was not bought and paid for and signed, sealed, and delivered by oligarchic corporate America to the very seat in which he or she would sit at said convention. Oh, you're gonna put single payer in the new constitution you're gonna write. Bullshit, he said to Bob, and he turned and walked away. And by the way, and I don't have the answer to this. Just what in the hell does Hermie mean when he says, we need to enforce the Constitution? What does that mean? How is the Constitution not being enforced in Herman Godfather Pizza Kane's world? What is it? What is it that has him all head up? David in Tennessee asking, tough speeches. How about attending a speech for simple first-hand knowledge of an opinion found in the public square? This stuff, says David, is too scary for words. And it is. You gotta, please take this to heart. You know, sometimes I do really feel like I'm, I really do feel like a lone voice crying in the wilderness. This is fascism! In the name of God, please understand, this is fascism. It doesn't have to have snappy black uniforms doing the goose step. This is fascism. Herman Cain is and all the teabaggers are outright, out in the open, out of the closet, out of the woodwork, fascists. Please understand that. Going back to the drug testing issue, Jim brings up a very good point. And this is the rub, too. This is where the con comes in. You know how that story about Rick's drug testing down there says, well, you know, if the poor welfare people, if they come up clean, they'll get their money back. They ain't gonna come up clean. The game is rigged. And Jim notes this, the subject line, drug test validity. Drug tests, says Jim, often test positive on non-drug substances, like poppy seeds, ibuprofen. What happens in these cases, says Jim? Yeah, what happens if you've actually got a prescription for Lortab or Vicodin or, God forbid, OxyContin? Well, that $70 ain't coming back. Because this is, once again, not about protecting the money of the taxpayer dollar, the fiscal conservatism, God bless America. This is a wealth transfer. This is a wealth transfer from the taxpayer to Rick Scott. And he should be indicted for it. That's all this is. And it's a con, just like every other idea that the Repiglickens have had in the last 100 years. It is a con! It is a trip down the carnival midway, where you, sucker, don't have a chance of winning. And you ain't never gonna find that queen, even though it's just three puny ass cards. You ain't never gonna do it. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. I just have to call right quick. Listen, the thing in Florida is just stunning. You know, you're telling me that there isn't a critical mass of people who aren't aware of what is going on. I mean, it's so blatantly a transfer. You're forcing people to use taxpayer money that they're given in a form of benefit to turn it over to a private entity that's being funneled directly into his family's pockets. I mean, it's incredible. Are the people there just stupid? Do they not have any efficacy with the system? I mean, because it seems like it would be very easy to drum up enough support to call this guy out, at least on this issue. That's the most, one of the more outrageous scams I've seen, and it's so blatant.
Well, you know his... His approval rating is somewhere around 22-25%. Excuse me.
Yeah, but the fact that, you know, there's not, the press isn't on this, or I don't get it, because it's wow. I think that's just unbelievable. And I can't even believe that the people down there are that far gone that they can't be bothered to press for that to stop. It's incredible.
Well, but, you know, the problem, Sandra, is that the people being oppressed and ripped off and abused are the poor.
No. I understand that. But, you know, it still can be framed as taxpayer dollars, which aren't coming from the, quote, poor. That money is from the state fund. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the way the thing got through in the first place is, you know, we're gonna make sure that those filthy welfare people aren't buying drugs with the taxpayer money.
Right, but I mean, that argument is just so weak in light of the whole picture here of this governor, sitting governor, who's funneling money this way to a family-owned business. That's the thing. I'm just like, hello? Don't they have sunshine laws or you know what I'm saying?
But the state of Florida is so far gone in terms of good government practice that it may never be able to come back.
Well,
the Democratic Party is a shattered shadow of his former self, and the legislature is a wholly owned Republican subsidiary. Rick Scott plans on packing the court to make sure that any Democratic voice on the Supreme Court can't be heard.
I understand how it works, but I'm just saying I really can't believe that that is just going to happen. And the fact that those poor people who aren't abusing anything is going to have to use the portion of the benefit to cover this. I mean, this is the thing. It's just like, what?
Yeah, and if it, you know, if it turns out that Rick Scott drug testing for a clean and happy, shiny, Jesus-laden Florida, if it turns out that that outfit needs some money, well, you'll find out that the drug testing is going to go from once every 6 months to once every three, or maybe once a month. You know, where does it end, Sandra? Every 2 weeks? Every day and a half? And, the other side of that is that our side has some issues at getting people off their seats and into the streets.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Now, they'll go and picket to save the manatee, and I mean no disrespect by that. Because everybody can get warm and fuzzy about some innocent animal. But to complain about Florida is so dysfunctional, I think, Sandra, that, and I welcome any Floridian to tell me otherwise, Florida is and has been so dysfunctional for so long that dysfunction is their normal.
Yeah, I don't know. I shudder at what's going on there. I don't know if you saw the whole sort of, you know, Negroes gone wild that they are just drumming up out of this world. I guess they had some sort of urban weekend, and you know, I saw the video, and it looked crazy, gunfire, and you know.
Well, and Matt Drudge has even started featuring sort of race violence on his page.
Yeah, that's his whole stock and trade now. It's just like the scary black people. But no, Florida is just terrible. I just feel it's really scary down there.
Well, and David in Tennessee brings up another valid point here. He says, didn't I hear earlier that the testing's already been judged as unconstitutional and Scott's going to do this anyway?
Well, that's the other thing that my other next question, but I got to ask now, because I was wondering, they must, you know, there's some privacy issue that has to be reconciled, right?
Well, yeah, and there's also, and nobody ever uses it, I guess, but there are rules of law that speak to whether one is operating in good faith when one advances something that is clearly and unequivocally ruled, you know, don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had a functional government, this man really could be impeached.
Well, no, it's incredible. I mean, I look at that whole system down there and just shudder, and it's really quite scary. But anyway, the other thing I'm wondering if you got a chance to see the global business section was just chock-a-block today. As China's workers get a raise, companies fret.
Yeah, they're looking for the next place to out. Yeah, China's going to get to feel the warm caress of corporate outsourcing soon, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but you know, it's just sort of they fret. I don't know. I just, you know, it's like ascribing these feelings to these corporate. Just the whole title and the frame of the article was really quite disturbing to me. And also, boo-hoo, you know, they got to pay people more. And, I mean, these people are slaves. And, you know, we're buying their products, and it's just disgusting what these people have to work under. So now they're getting raises because China don't want total social unrest.
Yeah, what was the phrase from the Mongolia story yesterday? Maintain social, you know, the bullhorn.
Yeah.
Maintain social stability. Maintain social stability.
Right. I mean, so that's what's going on there. And the other thing, which I guess a few people are covering it now. I heard Mike Malloy talking about it. But this whole ad age thing is really interesting with the, we don't need mass affluence anymore and screw you. And I don't think people realize how, you know, the implications of this, because it's coming out of, you know, these people aren't concerned about.
Yeah, it's kind of a tacit admission that the dance is over.
Right.
The band's packed up.
And it's coming from that quarter. So it's sort of like, well, there is no agenda here. This is just the segment of society that want to sell shit to people. And they're saying that 10% is what they're interested in. 10% are purchasing 50% of the consuming now. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the world? Did you see the worldwide number that? And this isn't just the United States. This is the whole blessed planet, Sandra. 1% of the country. Or, I mean, 1% of the world owns 39% of the wealth.
Right. I mean, this. You know. So.
How does the globe not just kind of catch fire with that kind of thing?
Well, it's not over with yet. I mean, these sort of discrepancies and disparities are outrageous. And it was sustainable when you had a clear demarcation between the South and the North. But now with the globalization in its mature phase, you know, we're seeing its horror. It's a horrible system that has unfolded. I guess they need to replace war, and it worked for a while, but I think war is going to make a big comeback. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to say, but I'm like, you know what?
War. Wait. Is this one of those fashion statements like, you know, pink is the new black, war is the new trade?
Well, I just...
War is the new economy?
I'm like, you know, I'm not a huge history authority, but, you know, I appreciate it. And so I go back to when things were, you know, multipolar before the Crimean War. You know, when they had globalization then, everyone was all like, oh, war is over, it's done. And we know what happened soon after that declaration.
Oh, anytime the global powers that be declare that we have had the war to end all wars... duck.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, you know, the people in England thought that everything was just groovy, and, you know, as they would, since they were in charge. I mean, that's what happens when you're on top. You're blind to some of the machinations that are going on. But I just think that you can't have, because you combine the wealth disparity with the ecological nightmarish destruction, and did you know that India has already built like a 4,000-meter wall on the border to Bangladesh, because they are anticipating when that shit is underwater. You know?
Right, when that sinks.
And so, and you're talking about, that's a lot of people. So you're going to have, like, huge migrations of people. All of it is, like, ingredients for war. This is what I'm saying about the war thing. So I don't know how the rich... Because, you know, I don't know what the rich is. I know they're able to make money off of disasters and every other kind of calamity, but I'm not too sure, man. This is...
You remember back when the tsunami hit Southeast Asia? And
huge one?
Yeah. And Hillary Clinton and Bill, Cat Killer Bill Frist, they went down there, and on the way back, or at some point in time, and it was recorded and documented, Bill Frist looked at the photographer who was assigned to them to shoot pictures and said, take a picture of me here and make sure you get a lot of the devastation in the background. that's, you know, that's where we are. Frankly, if some corporation that's busy selling us air conditioners from China, you know, if they can repurpose to sell us disaster relief equipment, you know, that, as the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, once said, that's a good dollar. And that's all they're concerned about, isn't it, Sandra? Just making it.
And look at that, it was a major story in the New York Times today or yesterday talking about, well, these horrible tornadoes might be a boom. It's like, I mean, this is the frame now. It's acceptable to talk about this, you know, mass destruction in some way of making money. It's incredible.
Well, and, you know, how do you avoid under those circumstances looking back to Calvin Coolidge? The business of America is business.
Well, anyway, listen, I'll let you go, but did you manage to see that New Mexico is ending food stamp supplement?
Yep. That's going to go over great on the res.
Anyway, I just am sort of like, but no, the thing that was killing me about that article, I always stroll down to the comment, and the comments were all blaming the illegals, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, people can't think outside the memes that they're fed daily from the right-wing hate machine, right?
Right. And also because that's easy, too. And the right wing, in promulgating that kind of crap, the right wing, Sandra, knows that it's easy. Because to look into the deeper root causes, it might make Marvelline's head hurt.
No, but I guess maybe I'm just naive, because I'm just sort of shocked that people are still buying that. That's all. Because we've had so many revelations. But maybe that's just, you know, me.
But revelations can't drill through hate. And remember, we're still talking about a very, very pasty white internet. And so consequently, the people who are posting, and remember the right wing is out there paying people to do it too.
Well, I thought that was interesting. I caught that Tom Hartman talking about something that I didn't even, I'm like, what are you talking about? But he seems to think that Wikipedia is under attack, and every time they alter everything on it to match right wing dogma. I mean, have you noticed that?
Yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, I don't know how to edit Wikipedia, but a lot of people do, and I know Ben Birch was active in it and may still be. There's a constant re-editing, a constant, and that's been out there for a couple of years.
Well, the thing, I mean, I just got this book because it's called The Filter Bubble.
The Filter Bubble by Eli Pariser.
Yeah, and the reason I got it because I was so shocked because he's premising something that just because I'm doing this library science stuff, this is kind of right on the top because, you know, we're dealing with what people are doing for searching. So when he was talking about, well, it's you search, but things are not, you're not getting the information that you want. You're getting what Google's algorithms think that you want because of how you've been using your computer.
Right.
And so the implications of that are just astounding. Anyway, that book just came today. I didn't know if you had heard about it because I think it's going to be a interesting read.
I would appreciate hearing back on it, Sandra, because it might be worth the effort to try to get him on the show.
Yeah, and it's just, like I said, it just complements, you know, my curiosity. And plus, right now, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do a thesis on, so, you know, this might help me. Sorry to turn it into the Sandra show.
No, no, not at all. Did you catch any of the game last night?
No, I did not, because I tell you something else that I'm doing. You know, it's Gay Pride Week, right? A Gay Pride Month.
Right.
So some friends of mine, they got me to DJ for this event.
Oh, awesome.
Right, no, this is a big club, you know, the sort of
like serious the subwoofers and 130 beats per minute and all of that stuff.
Yes. Let's see. Oh, I was gonna like play something for you, but never mind. Yeah, the beats. Anyway, so I've been spending time trying to organize that, but no, I didn't see the game, but they won, right?
Yeah, they won, and a little bit of home cooking there toward the end. I mean,
Was it a close cassette?
It was close until like the last 4 minutes or so, and then everything just fell apart and it wound up 10 points or whatever. But I thought about you because I saw a story today from Matt Iglesias over at Think Progress. And the way my head works, Sandra, I hear people's voices from the show sometimes. And I heard yours when I read this headline, because in my head, Sandra's voice went, "Oh no, the progressive case for the Miami Heat."
Who wrote that?
Matt Iglesias said, "I'm rooting for the Miami Heat because it's the progressive thing to do." And I'm sitting there going, "Wait, what?" But he says, it's all about labor and LeBron James is still underpaid. He'd be underpaid no matter where he went. He ends up saying, "Was the decision kind of tasteless?" The LeBron "Where Will I Go" show.
Yeah.
And he says, "Yes, but we all have our lapses, and LeBron's lapse raised money for charity. Did the biggest social faux pas of your life raise money for charity? I'm guessing it didn't. Nobody needs to cry for rich NBA stars, but the idea that the even richer people who own the teams have a moral right to their labor is nuts."
Well,
I'm sorry, that's just kind of way out there for me.
And not only that, but I'm still stuck on him telling his mother to sit down and shut up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Don't talk to mama that way.
That's hideous. Yeah, so that's why I can't get past him.
With it being Gay Pride Month, you did see where, God, I think he's trying to turn into Michelle Bachmann, where Representative Alan West has said gay soldiers can change their behavior.
He has a video. Oh, Alan West. See, I'm getting the whack Negroes confused. You're talking about, I'm thinking about Kane because he has a video out. But anyway.
It's easy. You can confuse Hermie and Alan simply because they both speak the same crazy.
I know, but I miss Alan because, at least he is somewhat, he frames things kind of, it's a bit more clever. I don't know what's going on with Kane. It's like, damn.
Well, Rand Paul says it's time to chuck him in prison. He's advocating the overthrow of the government. No, but I love this. This is the quote from Alan West. He wants to repeal "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," because how it is with these homophobic right wingers. They can't consider the issue of homosexuality without imagining, I don't know, soldiers in character shoes and feather boas doing a chorus line in a trench. I mean, that's just how that's what it means to be gay in their world. So Alan West was answering questions about "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," and he said, "Let me put it very simple. The U.S. military exists to win the nation's wars. When you join the military, it takes individual behavior that conforms into the military. Now, if we start to have a perspective and a belief in this nation that the military conforms to individual behavior, then we've lost the understanding of what it means to be in the U.S. military." It just absolutely upside down, backwards, and sideways reasoning. But then comes this line, because, Alan West is black. And taking on some gay hate when you're black is, there's a sort of a wide open conflict there, right? That bigotry against one is okay, but not against, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and by the way, I'm still confused. Yes, there's Alan West, Alan Keyes, and this Herman Cain. See, I got it all mixed up. Lord.
Yeah, this is the crazy congressman that got drummed out of the military.
Right, for torturing people. Yes,
right.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry.
So he's cruising along, and this is just precious. Because, there's always got to be some snide little dig. But the U.S. military is not there as a social experiment, and for those who will sit up there and say, "Congressman, you should understand because you're black." Well, unless I'm Michael Jackson, I can't change my color, but people can change behavior. And, this guy's treated as a serious person, Sandra.
God, that's so, that is weak. Can't believe it. Wow.
Just nasty.
Really horrible. So I see, speaking of that, I see the whatever king is fleeing from the Long Church. the homophobic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Daughter, what's her name? Regina? Anyway.
Yeah.
That chick, she's going off to start her own homophobic church.
Yeah, she's right, because Eddie Long came to a settlement with the guys he seduced.
Ew. Oh.
Yeah. Time to go.
Oh, God. Okay.